to episode 25 of the Freedom Foil podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Mary.
Hey, guys.
Why are you laughing at
because
me?
Because if you
corner?
Would have seen when Joe was saying episode 20, he had his eyes shut and he was like really intensely saying 25. I'm like, what?
I need to get into the mindset. We are not dead. We're still alive.
I don't even want to talk about it.
No, I don't either. You know, we do this for fun.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. We do it for fun. We get busy. A lot of stuff's been going on. And you know what? You'll get your episode when you get your episode. Okay?
Well, we hope you're excited to listen to another one, though.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on to my podcast, Joe.
We got to let them know the big news first. And I should preface this.
Very official.
I should preface this with you guys, because you're so special to us and we do this for fun.
You're
the first ones finding out publicly. Of
Probably.
Course, our friends and family know.
Yeah, but social media wise, you guys might be the first.
Yeah, yeah. It depends on when we post, me and Mary post on our pages of the news as well. But we are hello and welcoming one new subscriber to the Firearm Freedom family, because Mary is about 6 months pregnant right
More
now.
More, 7.
7 months pregnant right now. We waited a bit too long to tell you guys. Figured it'd be better to tell you before there's a baby crying in the background.
Yeah, true. I wonder, no, we've done an episode in 7 months. Maybe we haven't.
No, I don't know. It's been a minute. It's been quite
a
while.
Well, guys, I am large and in charge with a sweet baby boy.
Yes.
And he is due.
I'm going to get him shooting at the ripe age of 1.
No.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
No, but Joe has already bought him his first little rifle. So
I have a mini Mosin that I'll probably be posting a picture of today with the ultrasound photos. So we'll see.
But yeah, he is due the end of April 2023. So.
Yep. Beyond excited.
So excited, so nervous, all the feels.
It's also very important to me. You know, the world is so crazy right now, and I do feel like it's in times like these where it's very important for us to have children and teach them the right ways of the world so that they can grow up and maybe fix some things.
Yeah,
so.
I think we're, you know, excited to take on these new challenges of being parents. You know, Joe and I have been together for a really, really long time. So we've always talked about kids and how we've wanted to raise kids.
I've always been
and,
very afraid.
Yeah, but you came around and I think you're like, I think I had my moments of panic and so did you. And that's just so normal. I think sometimes people only talk about like, oh, we're so excited, which we are obviously, but we're also nervous. We also have moments of panic like, oh my gosh, there's going to be a human being in here.
Yes.
And I think I said to Joe the one time, because he's like, man, I'm so nervous about it. I'm like, it's not like it's going to be a random 14-year-old just
in
our house randomly.
Like, what's up?
Like, it's going to be a baby, but... Yeah, yeah, we're just like
excited.
Just so excited.
But moving forward from that, you know, obviously, of course, aside from the podcast probably taking a little bit of a hit for the first few months,
more of a hit than it already has.
But also, YouTube is actually a job for me. That is a side income. So that's going to be something I always do, you know, and that's always going to continue. But right now, I try to average 2 to 3 videos a week. And of course, when we first have our child, which is crazy to say here on on the podcast, it's probably going to go down to 1 video a week, and this extra social media posts may go down a little bit. But the podcast, we're going to try to do what we can. This is a lot of fun for us. And
yeah, we enjoy it.
I think that's why we continue it. You know, it's not even like, I think when the timing is right, it is a banger.
And it's a good time.
We put out some shit that slaps, dude.
Yeah, and Joe and I get to hang out and like have like an hour of just like talking about something fun and cool. And it's better than Joe being in the kitchen and like talking about conspiracy theories. And I'm like, I have no fucking clue what you're saying.
This is true. And that's why our podcast is incredible. Speaking of podcasts, what is today's episode about?
Princess Diana's death.
I'm excited about this one because we originally...
It's a huge conspiracy
theory.
It's
a huge
and
conspiracy.
And like so many things have been made from it. Shows, movies.
Right.
The one I want to point out, and I haven't watched it, and I think I will definitely after doing this. I think it's a mini series or it's a show.
On Netflix, right?
It's the one with Kristen... Or is it Kristen Stewart, the girl, the Twilight girl. What's her name?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She plays
She looks so...
She does.
Uncanny. I haven't seen her acting in it, but like, that was such a... For me, was like, whoa, that's such a random cast. But it's like, dude, she looks just like her.
I would be really excited to watch that with you because I saw it pop
that's
up.
That's her name, right? Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Twilight Girl. You all know what
I'm talking
about.
I'm pretty pumped about this episode because I knew nothing about it.
Oh, me neither. So I didn't even know how she died, actually.
I knew that part.
I just knew that there was like a conspiracy around her death and that like it was somehow like... conspiracy with the royal family maybe doing it, but right. I didn't even know how she died.
And I think that's, you know, it's an interesting point with us because usually I have a good understanding of the topic going into it, but in this case we're both kind of coming in totally fresh, so I think that's going to yield a very interesting result in ideals,
mm-hmm.
which I know we're going to differ in later on, but that's
in the episode, you think?
Oh yes.
Really?
Oh yes. Yes.
I really thought, I'm like reading through it and I'm like, man, yeah, Joe and I are definitely going to have the same opinion.
She's still alive in Hollow Earth.
Oh,
I'm
my
kidding.
God.
That's not my opinion at all.
Then yes, we will have very different opinions.
I'm kidding.
And when we get to the one piece of content that
I'm so excited to talk.
You know, we obviously pull articles for these. Joe finds the articles. That's his job on the pod. And he finds really great
on
articles.
The pod.
But he included a 30-minute video from the one... The only, what's his name? David Icke?
David Icke.
Not a fan.
Okay.
Not in the slightest.
He just gets me.
I watched the first 30 seconds and he said something about the royal family being lizards and I'm like, okay, this is not. And he talks so fast. He tries to like double talk. And I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to this.
You know what? We'll talk about that at the end and I will explain to you pure
You'll never convince me that David Icke is not a psychopath.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
I'll
that. We're going to start with classic wiki article just because it is very informative. I don't think the wiki.
I think they give a very good overview.
Yeah, they
the
definitely
basis.
Don't. This wiki article definitely doesn't lean into any of them and like, oh, what if? What if
In
this?
In fact, they just primarily discount it, I would say.
Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
They actually go through all the conspiracies and try to like say, this is why, this is why, this is why. But I think it's a good overview and it'll give us a good structure for going into it. So
get us rolling.
I think actually, you don't have to jump, but I'm going to jump a little bit down just because I want to give a little bit of background about Princess Diana. Because I don't, like, again, I wasn't very familiar with her or like the whole, her whole situation. So
I knew nothing about them at all.
Yeah, so don't jump.
The,
you stay on wiki, but I'm just going to give a little background.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
were you going to say? You didn't
realize. Well, I was going to say, I didn't even realize, maybe it's because every photo that I've seen of Princess Diana, obviously she was still very young in 1997. And who's the two guys, her sons, that are all over the news?
Harry is one of them, maybe Henry?
Yeah, I think so. But I didn't realize that those two guys were her sons.
Oh.
I had no idea.
I did know that.
I didn't know that at all. I mean, I don't
it's
follow
pieces.
Their
It's just
shit,
pieces. Like, there was stuff that I didn't know, you know, we'll get into
I'm
it.
Like Ron Swanson touring Europe, if you've seen Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah, when he goes to London.
He doesn't look
he
at
He tries
anything.
To pay for something with, like, an American dollar, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say an American dollar. U.S. currency.
U.S. currency, which is worthless.
That American
now,
dollar.
Okay.
All right. So a little background on her. So she was the Princess of Wales. And basically she had married Prince Charles of England. And that is how she became part of the royal family. Prince Charles being the son of Queen Elizabeth II.
Mm.
So there's a little background there. But I didn't actually realize this. They actually ended up getting divorced.
Yeah.
So
and they were divorced like a year before the accident, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, so she joined the royal family in July of 29th, 1981, and at St. Paul's Cathedral. I think her wedding dress as a girl, a woman, it's very famous. It's like this very beautiful, extravagant
train. It
was like
27 foot
yeah,
long.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that called?
Train.
Is that
a train?
On,
yep.
Yeah.
So,
like
and she had just turned...
all over it and everything.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It was, I mean, talk about a royal wedding. It was... to the nines.
They said it was like an actual like princess sort of
oh, movie 100%,
sort of thing.
100%.
Yeah.
But she had just turned 20 at the time when she got married. And then 1982, so a year later, Princess Diana gave birth to her son William. And then 2 years later, the family welcomed Prince Harry.
I just have to take a... Were you winking at me?
No, I my contact is dry.
Okay, so Mary just literally... Like,
that's looked, not true.
Like, looked at me and like literally was like, "Yeah, we'll get him on that one." When I said, the it was like a princess movie. She's like, "Yeah, okay." And I'm like,
"Okay, this is
it not?"
That's so dangerous because I didn't even realize or feel that I winked at you.
Okay, contact. Fuck me then.
No,
all right,
my contact is dry. Oh, no.
Okay, continue on.
A big thing that Princess Diana was famous for is that she I shouldn't say rejected. She abandoned many royal traditions, right? She didn't do
things.
She
wasn't all, like, hoity-toity, right?
No, and she was, like, very much,
philanthropist?
Yeah, she was a philanthropy. She was devout.
She was
devoted
a philanthropy.
Herself. She devoted herself to philanthropy, and, she just found a lot of their practices of the royal family outdated, and she really wanted to connect with the people. She was, you know... felt that her role as Princess Diana, which I agree, is one of the people. So she should be among the people. At the time, obviously, the AIDS epidemic was going on. She was very involved in that, running charities and just going to different countries and visiting with people that were suffering from either AIDS or other.
Which the royal family did not like.
Did not like that at all. Yes. But yeah, they, you know, she became famous positively for her charity work, and then unfortunately her and Prince Charles started to grow apart. So
so she was the princess
of Wales,
and
then she became
you have to be royal family,
I believe,
in this case
you have to be somewhat so yeah, they started to grow apart. There was a conspiracy that they started to grow apart due to Prince
I thought
Charles
it was interesting.
Cheating on her with
now
the wife.
The nanny lady.
Yeah, I forget what her name is.
I thought it was interesting that they got a...
Camellia Parker Bowles. Mm. That's his current wife.
I thought it was interesting that they actually got a public divorce.
Yeah.
I didn't think that, like, happens in the...
Well, it was interesting how long it took. So in 1992, the couple announced the separation, and then they officially divorced in 1996. Mm. And then that kind of leads us into the whole conspiracy. So I'm going to go back up to the Wiki article.
Yeah.
We'll just give a little, how about an overview of like what the facts are about what happened. So
supposed facts.
So in 1997, Princess Diana was involved in a fatal car crash, specifically August 31st in Paris.
Yes.
Yes. So,
and she was
of
with
course
her
because
boyfriend.
She was, yeah, her boyfriend at the time, who, what's his name?
Dodie.
That's his last name, I think.
No.
That's
oh,
that's
his
first
name.
Dodie Fayed? Fayed?
Fayed.
Fayed.
Fayed. I think it's Fayed.
Okay.
Like fajitas.
Gotcha. So since it happened in Paris.
Sorry if that disrespected anybody.
Since it happened in Paris, obviously the French, not government, but French investigations
basically
were involved.
Basically their secret police.
Right.
I think they were called as the secret police.
So there
France.
Was two sets of investigations, the French investigations and then the British investigations.
And the British MI6 were, I think, the people that investigated it. I can't remember.
Well, they created like, you know, investigation groups and all this stuff because it was a huge deal.
And MI6 is essentially like the United States CIA.
Right.
It's very close. It's essentially the same thing.
Right. So... basically this,
they were at the Ritz.
Yeah, they were at the Ritz. She was at the Ritz with her then boyfriend and she got into, a car and there was, you know, allegations of the two of them getting engaged. So there was a lot of buzz with the paparazzi. The paparazzi ended up finding them at the Ritz and were said to have followed them pretty aggressively.
In like a high-speed chase, basically.
Right. And they got to the opening of this tunnel, and apparently, I mean, there's a ton of reasonings why
they entered the tunnel
it.
At like 60 or 70 miles an hour.
Yep, and then they crashed. And if you've seen pictures of the car,
it's
did you
smoked,
see pictures
dude.
Of it?
Yeah,
it looks like a tree had fallen on it, or
a
house. Like,
yeah,
it
well, they,
looks
they
crushed.
They hit a
ricocheted,
and
then
they smashed headfirst into a pillar at like 70 miles an hour. So. And coincidentally, again, as we'll talk about in a second, Princess Diana was not wearing a seatbelt, along with Dodie, who was not wearing a seatbelt. And the driver, I believe, was also not wearing one, but the bodyguard in the passenger seat was wearing
one. The only
one
survivor.
And survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone had died except, yeah, that one Secret Service
yes.
agent.
Yeah.
But so the British jury in 2008 returned a verdict of an unlawful killing by driver Henry Paul. So that's the driver.
And that's also what sparked the conspiracy
exactly.
allegations.
Exactly.
Which we should mention, just like JFK, this actually has a lot of similarities to JFK's story and the research that we did, as just the vastness of it.
So much.
And then also the government researching.
Involvement.
Yes, researching the actual conspiracy
theories. And the amount of time. You have to understand. So if you go from 1997 to 2008, that's a
yeah.
huge amount of time. That's over 10 years.
Well, and I got news for you.
Or wait.
What?
It's 9 years? 9 years.
What are you talking about? From 1997
no, 11 years.
To 2008.
Is 11 years?
Yeah.
Right.
Wait. No. 7 to 2000 is 3.
Well, 98 would have... Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't come for us, people. Don't
11.
Come for us.
I think it's 11. But regardless, whenever a government, okay, of any country, does actual research into conspiracy theories, they are purposefully putting theories out there to distract you from the actual truth of the situation.
Or
and that
the fact,
indicates that something actually happened that they don't want you to know.
Or the fact that they put so much money, effort, people, manpower into this says to me like something beyond just a car crash
yes.
happened. Because,
yeah.
you know, and I get it. She is obviously a public figure. So there's going to be a lot more of an investigation than, say, just, you know, Joe Schmo that got into a wreck.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of manpower for something that should be so straightforward in the
right.
eyes of the government. Like,
right.
oh, she got into a wreck. It should be so straightforward. But then all this stuff started to come
well,
to
let's,
light.
Let's talk about Henry Paul,
yeah.
the driver, because
right.
he was he essentially.
Are you jumping down to that section?
Yes.
Good.
He essentially was the person that ultimately the government blamed as causing the accident.
Yes. They had to have a scapegoat, right? Just
of
like
course.
JFK.
Yes.
What was the guy's, what's the guy's name?
The scapegoat. Oh, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about Mr. Henry Paul.
Right. So the theory is that he was in the pay of a National Secret Service.
MI6, basically.
MI6, right. So the father of Princess Diana's boyfriend at the time, Dodi.
Yes.
The father's name is Mohammed.
Mohammed Al-Fayed.
He claims that Henry Paul was working for MI6 and that they set him up basically again as a scapegoat, someone to be able to blame this on.
Well, and he consistently has
and
the
to carry
mindset,
out the whatever plan they
right,
wanted to
he
do.
He consistently has the mindset, and what he said publicly is that the British government killed Princess Diana due to they did not want the marriage with Dodi.
Well, not
and,
so much. Well, I guess they are part of the government, but the royal family.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. That
well,
is
when you're
the
saying
government,
I think it's a little separated because I think the government was running an investigation. Then the royal family is like a whole separate group in my mind that
I believe they're the same thing, dude.
Well, I know they're part of the government. I'm saying in this conspiracy.
Not, I mean, technically, there's parliament. And then the royal family in
right.
the UK, but I don't know that...
No. What I'm saying is I think the royal family had an agenda and that the British government doing the investigation may have had their own agenda as
That's
well.
That's true. I'll
so
give you that.
So I'm just saying I think there's two separate groups.
Yeah.
And obviously there's stuff going on in the royal family that the government isn't going to know.
Well, and so ultimately we have allegations that Paul was intoxicated driving.
Yes.
And that he... allegedly was an alcoholic and had a little too much to drink that night.
So there was a blood test carried out and it had indicated that he had been drinking before he took control of the car. They reported, the French investigators report that his blood test showed he was drunk at an alcohol level 3 times the French legal limit.
Allegedly.
And that was, interestingly enough, challenged by British a British pathologist. And the French carried out a third test using a more medically conclusive fluid from the inside of the eye, confirming their original alcohol measures. And they actually found that he was also on antidepressants at the time, or so they say.
Right. And it was a little strange because they said based off of the CCTV footage at the Ritz, just literally an hour or so before, he was not acting intoxicated whatsoever. He was completely normal.
And I will give it to, like, again, Wiki brought up a point and they're trying to disclaim a lot of these allegations, but it, you know, if you are, I don't know how to say this, like if you're not a seasoned alcoholic, but if you are an alcoholic and you, that's what you do on a daily basis, you do, and you're functioning, you do have this way about you that you could carry yourself in public and not,
I mean,
be noticed.
I would agree, but 3 times the normal limit.
But it's not like he had to get on stage and do a juggling act. He was basically
three
just,
times the normal limit and antidepressants.
I know, I'm just saying, but all he had to do was stand there and then get into a car.
I mean, I think you could pull that off.
I think you could pull that off pretty easily if you are that drunk.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. If you drink like it's your job, I think you could.
I think a lot of the time in this Wiki article, they're too easily discounting everything. I don't believe any of this. I'll tell you what I believe at the end, but I don't know. I think they're too easily like, well, he could have acted normal.
Well, and, you know, so families, obviously, Mohammed Al-Fayed and also Henry Paul's family did not accept the ultimate findings of the French investigation. And in 2009, it was reported...
They said he was not an alcoholic, too, right?
Right. And in 2009, it was reported that DNA samples confirmed the blood samples with high alcohol levels were indeed from Paul. So, again, this is like... That's like the fourth test in a span of, you know, how many years. And I don't know. Again, it's tough with this kind of stuff because it's like, who's controlling it? Who's watching it? You have all these questions in your mind because if they really wanted to, they could say whatever they want.
Exactly.
They could put out whatever they want.
They could say literally anything. And
unless they're doing it on like live television. And even then I'd be like, well, whose blood is that?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like you can't believe anything
these people say. That is also the like trouble of being somewhat of a conspiracy theorist though, because it's like, it's hard to, you know, what do you grab onto?
Right.
What is ultimately the truth in your eyes, even if they did this blood alcohol test, we would never trust it unless we were the ones doing it.
Right.
So it's like, it's maddening a little bit.
It is a little maddening.
You want to move on
maddling?
To the,
it's a little maddling. Let's
you
go
move on
to
Tomlinson's allegations
of Richard Tomlinson, who was a former MI6 officer.
Is it MI6?
MI6, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was actually dismissed from their intelligence services because he essentially broke their Official Secrets Act of 1989, which bars any MI6 personnel from giving away any secrets. And he actually served jail time for it of about 5 months because he claimed that MI6 had been involved in the crash.
So in a sworn statement to the French investigators in May of 1999, that Britain's MI6 had been involved in the crash. Again, yeah, just completely exposing and I can't. Okay. Pregnancy brain is a total thing. I just have to throw that out here because I can't think of words to save my life. What is it? When you, a whistleblower,
you,
a whistleblower,
when you, when
a whistleblower.
You,
wouldn't that be a whistleblower move?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm the smartest person. No, they,
you will never get this.
La, 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 la. So he had been reported by the BBC to have claimed that Paul was working for the security services and that one of Diana's bodyguards was a contract for the British intelligence agency.
Yes. Yeah. Like everyone is a double agent in this conspiracy about Princess Diana.
Oh, and then he also claimed that MI6 was monitoring Diana before her death,
yes.
Which I believe.
Yeah, I could definitely.
Regardless
see that.
If this. Okay. So say this conspiracy theory is not hold true and that she actually did get into a crash. I do think that the MI6 probably would have been...
Well, regardless, she died from a crash.
Right. Sorry, I should say, if there was nothing leading... Like, if there was no conspiracy behind
the crash,
and then it really did just naturally
high-speed accident. Chase. Yeah, high-speed chase from the paparazzis, and they nailed the pillar in the middle.
But no, it's I think that MI6 either way would have been following her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would absolutely guarantee that.
With the turmoil going on.
And she's now in a relationship, in a committed relationship with somebody from another country as well. And that has very large diplomatic actions as with everything.
But at this
else,
point,
so.
She is completely divorced. You know, she is not, she does have 2 sons, obviously, with the Prince Charles. So she is still connected somewhat to the royal family. But you know, it's not like this was an affair.
Was this arranged, the marriage with Prince Charles? So they actually like,
oh, Prince Charles marriage? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if that, I never looked into that. I would be curious to see if that was actually like,
yes. Yeah, I want to say there, yes.
Like, at a Mingles event.
Because
like,
I also want to assume, and I don't know for a fact, but I think he was much older than her.
He looked older in the funeral procession.
I mean, if she was only 20 years old when they met.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I could see that. And I mean, a lot of royal family marriages were arranged.
Gotta inbreed them lizards, boy.
Oh my God. So the Tomlin, let's put the Tomlinson's conspiracy to rest here. Well, not even to rest, because it is he probably has the most straightforward allegations and
on record.
Too. Yeah, and the biggest connection to someone to an agency that would have had these
coincidentally after he served jail time, he came out and he's like, I was lying. Yep, none of it was accurate.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Because they probably almost smoked him
in
jail,
I think they
dude.
Probably were like, we're going to kill the F out of you if
the
you
F,
don't,
boy.
If you don't, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, there you go. Just drop it. Drop the F bomb.
What does
this
say? So February 13th, 2008, Tomlinson's told the investigators that he may have misremembered and that he had no evidence that Paul was with an MI6 agent. He conceded that after the interval of 16 or 17 years, he could not remember specifics. Okay. Again, that is somebody that's scared.
Yet you remembered enough specifics to swear under
oath. I don't know.
I
don't blame him.
Prior.
I don't blame him. He would have gotten smoked, dude.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't earlier. Because if you think about it, 2008 is when he claimed he didn't remember anything.
Maybe it was all part of the cover-up.
No, but I mean, in 1999...
It goes deeper.
If he, in 1999, came out with all these allegations, why wouldn't they just have, like, done it then? If they
that's
were
true.
Going to.
That's true.
So that's something to think about. It's like, wow, they let him live for a long time.
Yeah.
If they really did want to put him... I don't know. Because it's like, what he was saying wasn't that crazy. It's not like he came out and, like, had these crazy conspiracy theories. Like, what
he said
tracks.
He just said they were involved. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Which I could see.
How about the relationship with, what's his name? How do you say it?
Dodi
Fayed?
What else would it be? Fayed is the last name,
yeah.
I think, but Dodi is...
Well, we'll go with Fayed. So the boyfriend of Princess Diana at the time, thinking that one of the main motives which would have been advanced for alleged murder includes suggestions that Diana was pregnant with Dodi's child and that the couple, like I said, were about to get engaged, and that's what kind of sparked that paparazzi intrigue.
Yes,
but I mean already they're gonna be intrigued.
But then they heard afterward from friends that Princess Diana was essentially like, marriage is not on my radar for a long time, no interest, and they said she was not pregnant due to the blood that they tested from her at the crime scene.
And we'll get more detail about that in a minute, but the father of the boyfriend, so Muhammad, said that he made the assertion on television in interviews that the couple were actually going to announce their engagement the Monday after the crash in September 1st, 1997. So again, maybe that's him wishful thinking that his son was going to be married to this one. I don't know. Like maybe he was in a panic, but that says something.
We'll talk about this a little bit later, but I think he was also trying to
get justice for his son.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he, you know, really had it in his mind maybe that this was the story he wanted to go with and just started, you know, pushing it out to the public.
Yeah, I don't know. The CCTV evidence shows that and the investigators indicate that Dodi had left a jeweler's on the 30th of August with nothing more than a catalog. But again, if you bought a ring, it's small enough to put in your pocket.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know.
Man, paparazzi, dude. They are up your ass.
Oh, paparazzi. a few hours before the crash, on the afternoon of August 30th, Diana's journalist friend Richard Kay received a call on his phone from Diana in which she asked about what was likely to appear in the following day's Sunday papers about her. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
She called her reporter friend and was like, hey, do you know what's about to happen?
She could have asked for any number of reasons. I mean, I don't know that that's really pointing to anything. Should we jump down to the CCTV?
Well, I do want to just make a comment, too, that Diana's eldest sister testified and said that when Diana on the 29th of August, Friday, the 29th of August, Diana spoke about their relationship and kind of talked about it like, nah, you know, it we're not on, feeling
like
it.
Like it was rocky, right?
Yeah. Like it wasn't like, oh, I just love him so much. Well, like I just can't wait to be engaged to him. Or
they said on the footage from her in the Ritz with him that they looked to be like she had a face of just kind of like annoyance or whatever. But I mean, I guess that could be from the paparazzi there as well. So
right.
I don't know.
Facial expressions are hard to interpret when you're in the like in the public eye like that.
Yeah.
But real quick, before we move into the CCTV images, I just want to bounce back to the pregnancy allegations. So January of 2004, John Burton, I forget what his position was, but he attended a post-mortem examination of the princess's body where he personally examined her womb and found her not to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Robert Chapman, who carried out the post-mortem examination, the initial post-mortem examination, stated that Diana's womb and ovaries showed no signs of pregnancy. And then it was also reported that friends said she was in her normal menstrual cycle and there was no evidence that she was... Oh, and there was evidence that she was using contraception.
I mean, allegedly.
Right.
How are you going to know for
that
sure
last
all
one is
of these things?
Bull. But again...
That, well, that's what I
the
mean,
The thing
though.
Is, the two things I said before that about the postmortem examination, to me, it's like same thing as the Henry Paul blood test. I don't know.
Well, right. You have that. And then I don't like how Wiki in this case, like so easily is like, well, her friend said she was on her regular menstrual cycle. It's like,
man,
okay, how
like,
are you about
these
to
people
know
that do these postmortem things? Like they're usually in a room by themselves. Maybe there's like, I don't know. Like, how do we trust
all the
that?
Trust is in that individual that they're telling.
Do you know
truth.
How easily somebody like would be able to be paid off to just be like,
right. That's,
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard.
I don't know either. But okay. So
let's get to these beloved CCTV.
Okay,
this isn't even
now,
that interesting to me.
Are you kidding me? Are
go
you
for
kidding
it,
me?
Dude. You got this.
We are literally about to get into the same damn part of every assassination like ever in existence or major thing, which is the fact that literally 17 traffic cameras and CCTV footage was not working properly on the entire path to the tunnel. How is that not interesting to you?
I mean, it is.
Like what? Like everything else, like when we're going to talk about 9/11 and all the other shit.
Oh, can't
it's
wait
like,
for that.
Of course, right in the path that we would have been able to see everything that was going on, all of the cameras are not working properly.
Yeah.
Cameras that would have worked properly any other night, but this night, every camera in the path to the tunnel was not working.
It's interesting.
How is that? Like, how does somebody look at that at all? Oklahoma City, all the cameras not working.
How about the one, there was a traffic monitoring camera above the underpass that they went into. But this was under the control of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Some, it's French. I can't even pronounce it.
Where is it?
But it's La you're going to make me pronounce it. La Compagnie de Circulation Urbaine de Paris. I'm like the kid in...
Why are you going Spanish with it?
I know, I'm like the kid...
La Compagnie.
You know? Wait, did you have to take a language in high school?
I took Italian.
Why?
I don't know. It seemed interesting.
What an
asshole.
Idiotic choice. Spanish is what you should have taken.
You're going real racist with
so
that.
So anyway,
psycho.
Spanish. I took Spanish, and that's like when we'd be like, I can't even think of any Spanish.
Hola.
Yeah. I think my Spanish name was Mercedes.
What?
I don't know.
You're
we got to pick a name.
Sense. Whatever.
The department that I just said was closed down.
Paris Urban Traffic Unit.
That's the English version of what I just said.
Yeah, you could have just said that. You
shut
weirdo.
Up. Would you? I'm just trying to get this
point
out.
Okay. Okay.
So the traffic monitoring camera above the underpass that they were in control of. Their department closed down at 11 p.m. and had no night duty staff and made no recordings.
Of course.
Why couldn't
night.
You just leave the camera on?
Well, because there was an assassination going on. So, you know, we got to make sure that every camera possible is not being shown. So that's the first part of an interesting thing. And this next part, the white Fiat.
James Andenson.
Yeah, I was a little confused at this part. So this is fact, allegedly, that somebody ran into them with a white Fiat.
Correct. Analysis of the wreckage of the Mercedes revealed it had glancing contact. I don't know if I meant to put glancing.
Oh, that's what you meant by the car ricocheted off the collision into the pole.
Yes.
I got
had
you.
Contact with a white Fiat Uno car, which left traces of paint on the Mercedes bodywork. Because I believe, obviously, the white Fiat and then the Mercedes was a black Mercedes. So if they were to hit, you know, the paint would have transferred.
Yeah.
And you would have been able to see it pretty easily. Extensive attempts by the French police to find the vehicle involved were unsuccessful, of course. Mohamed Al-Fayed alleged in his July 2005 statement to Operation Pageant. So again, there's one of those operations that like...
That was their operation investigating the conspiracies. Yeah.
And he put the statement out in 2005 that the white Fiat Uno was being used by the M16 or MI6 as a means of causing Mercedes to swerve and thereby crash into the side of the tunnel. Yeah, I could totally see that.
I could see that as well. And then he commits suicide, of course.
Yeah, well, so the further alleged that the Fiat Uno was owned by a French photojournalist named Jean-Paul James Andenson.
Aiding to the whole paparazzi high-speed chase collision.
Who was
thing.
A Secret Services agent, according to Al-Fayed. Andenson's death in May of 2000 was either due to guilt over what he had done or because he was assassinated by the French or British Secret Service.
My favorite part
him.
About the assassination is they said he had a hole in the side of his head because the fire was so hot.
Yeah, so they did make the official verdict suicide in 2000 when he was found dead.
Yeah, his who body shot was found on the side of the head.
His body was found in a black burnt out BMW in a forest near the town of Nantes near Malou in southern France. His death was attributed to problems in his private life. Easy enough to do.
Okay.
Friends and family say that prior to his death, he had talked of suicide by pouring gas in a car and lighting a cigar. When the car was found, Andenson's body was in the driver's seat of the car and his head was detached and laid between the front seats. There was a hole in his left temple. French pathologists concluded this hole was caused by the intense heat of the fire rather than, for example, a bullet wound. Are you kidding me?
Generally, intense heat of the fire puts a bullet wound into somebody's head, typically.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Oh, and it
decapitates
the head. But
that's what confuses me is why wouldn't they just say he shot himself?
Right. I don't know, because they're stupid?
No, but that's like curious to me. So why wouldn't you just come out and say he shot himself and then lit the car on fire and then shot himself? Like why wouldn't you?
That would make more sense. Like you don't want to deal with the pain of being burned alive.
But why would you set the car on fire?
I don't know.
I'm trying to say this is like weird. It doesn't line up.
No, none of this lines up.
I think they messed up and I think they tried to burn it and it didn't burn. And somebody found it, and they were caught with their tail between their legs like, oh, shit. It didn't burn quick enough, and now we have a burning car, and his head was severed from his body with a bullet hole in it.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's very odd.
Then
very, very odd.
We got Le Van Tana.
Oh, I think I skipped that because I got bored of the white Fiat one.
Yeah, that basically it was like an actual owner, and they said he was probably the one with the Fiat because he went to his buddy's mechanic shop that night asking for it to be repainted immediately. And I don't know. It doesn't really matter that much, honestly. Next one that you got
is the Bright Flash.
That's interesting.
Yes, this is interesting because there were eyewitnesses. So an alternative explanation of the cause of crash had been reports of a bright white flash just before the car entered the tunnel, blinding the driver. It was founded by authorities that three eyewitnesses at the scene of the crash claimed to see a bright flash of light before the crash actually happened. So, I can't pronounce these names. Francois Levestri made a clear, specific claim that he saw a bright flash, but his three statements to the authorities were in conflict with each other. Operation Pageant rejected his evidence, and with the Mercedes behind him, he claimed to have seen the flash in the rearview mirror and recounted other elements of what he saw while he was negotiating the difficult bend of the tunnel. His testimony was directly contradicted by his then-wife, who was in the passenger seat next to him.
Yeah.
Another eyewitness, Brian Anderson, an American tourist, told detectives that he too saw this bright flash. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's plausible that MI6...
But I also could see his wife being like, hey, shut the fuck up. We're going to just pretend like we didn't see anything and we're going to walk away because this is way too involved for us.
Well, and I think essentially what they're indicating here is that the MI6 had some sort of a distraction flash of light that caused them to swerve off of the road and hit the pillar.
I don't like that one.
Is basically what they're saying.
I don't think that tracks.
I don't think it really tracks
like,
that much.
Think about the most high beam car you could ever see in your life. I mean, I guess if they were going fast enough and they're navigating a turn and the guy's drunk, if
and
that was really true,
tunnel.
And they're in a tunnel, I guess I could see that being an element of it, but that being the sole reason,
I don't
buy it.
Bullshit on that one.
Yeah.
Seatbelt. The seatbelt shit is very interesting to me.
2006 media report suggested Diana was a faithful seatbelt user, and therefore the fact that both her and Doty's seatbelts either failed or were not in use was a sinister and suggested sabotage. So that's interesting because her sister said later that Diana was religious about putting her seatbelt on when getting into a vehicle.
Yes. Yeah. And it also is, I've heard allegations that, and I can't substantiate this with anything, but I've heard allegations that Secret Service in protection of whatever their clientele is
like
in the vehicle will not wear a seatbelt, which was interesting about this because they need to be able to quickly react to something.
That's interesting.
Again, I don't know if that's accurate or not. I heard
that is
as
interesting.
A comment.
It makes sense.
It would make sense because if they need to react as quickly as possible, they're going to need to move, and they're not as concerned about their own personal safety with a seatbelt, typically.
Hmm. But he had his on.
Exactly. And the three others did not, which was interesting.
Which CNN did an analysis of the crash in early September 1997 and concluded that injuries would have been minor had the occupants been wearing their seatbelts.
They said she would have survived with the seatbelt. Because
she was in the back seat.
Yeah.
I don't think the driver would have, but she could've.
Probably would have survived, yeah.
Operation Pageant found that all seatbelts were in good working condition. Oh, yeah, good working order, except for the right rear one, which was attached to the seat Diana occupied.
Right.
So this is, to me, the first one thing that, like, any British investigators, operations, whatever, came out and said, well, this does track her.
And the CCTV, dude.
Right.
The seatbelts weren't on and all 17 cameras were off in the direction that the car was traveling. I don't know how somebody could legitimately see that come out in the news and be like, yeah, I get it. Coincidences happen.
This
like,
is where, okay, this next section really threw me off.
Yeah.
So this is about the transportation to the hospital and the timing of it all.
She
upon
was not immediately
impact,
dead.
Exactly. Upon impact, Henry died. The driver died. Henry, Paul. Her boyfriend, Dodi Fayed, died initially on impact. She did not. The first call to emergency services switchboard was logged at 12:26 a.m.
And they started work on her at like 12:31 or 12:32.
Let me give you the timeline. An ambulance carrying the princess didn't arrive to the hospital until 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
So between that time, that's an hour and a half, what happened? So the French system of emergency care adhered to the stay and play mantra, which meant that the patient needed to be stabilized first at a fully equipped medical ambulance before being directed to a specialized hospital that could treat their injuries no matter how far away it was. Are you serious?
Dude, bullshit.
That makes absolutely zero sense. That makes no sense.
I would understand with a regular person.
I wouldn't even understand what the regular person.
Well, no,
because
a regular, like, typically, I could see that as being the case because I've actually witnessed injuries where somebody needed to be stabilized to move. In other words,
if the individual
was moved, they would die.
Sure.
Only ability is to get them stabilized,
to get them into
the transport and then to the hospital. So they will wait sometimes for like an hour to try to get them stabilized.
If they don't, that makes sense. It is what it is.
But we're also not talking about a presidential level person. They're not going to sit there. Now, notice how they did not say here either that they had to stabilize her before moving for
the
health reasons. They said, well, it's our protocol to stay there and try to get him stabilized. Did she need to stay there or was it protocol?
It says that she wasn't even removed from the car until 1 a.m. and then went into cardiac arrest. Following external cardiopulmonary resuscitation, her heart started beating again.
Shit.
She was moved to the ambulance at 1:18. The ambulance departed from the crash scene at 1:41 and arrived at the hospital at 2:06.
And even the hospital transit time, they said, was bizarre because the hospital
was over 20 minutes.
Close. Yeah, the hospital was very close to the crash site.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't, that doesn't
That's
track.
That's completely bizarre.
And cardiac
bizarre.
Arrest, I mean...
Well, and she ultimately ended up dying, I believe, from a tear in her lung, is what they
yes,
say the official cause of death
correct.
Was. Which I would imagine could have been fixed, but I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I have no
idea. I don't
idea,
know, and maybe you're... I didn't think about what you said about, like, maybe if they did move her out of the car, it would have made it worse.
Well, here's the thing, though. If they would have said that, I would have been like, well, yeah, I could see that as being the case.
Right.
Because she may not be mobile, but they didn't say that. They said, we did this because this is what our protocol is.
Right.
That's
well,
what didn't make any sense.
Maybe if they if you go into the reports, it, like, says it more, because there was only, like, a paragraph and a half about this, but...
Eh. I don't
it's
know.
It's just so
it
confusing.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But that would be another, along with the seatbelts and the CCTV, that would immediately point to a larger conspiracy.
But also, like, what if all of these were true?
That's true, too. I don't know.
You know, I don't think it's just one or the other.
Right.
So the last one that we're going to hit on is the embalming of the body. So Mohammed Al-Fayed alleged that Diana's body was deliberately embalmed shortly after her death to ensure that any pregnancy test at the postmortem would produce a false result. I'm going to play stupid. What does embalming mean?
Embalming is if you're in a morgue and you're trying to get a body ready to be buried, they don't just bury it with internals because you're going to rot. So they remove everything inside of you and then fill it up with an embalming fluid, which is basically a preservative.
Okay. Got
it. So that you don't, like, you know, get all nasty for the funeral.
Well, and then it also talked about Robert Chapman, who carried out the first post-mortem examination, stated that the embalming fluids would have no effect on determining whether Diana was pregnant or not, as the physical evidence would have been present in her womb and ovaries. Operation Pageant found that August 31st, 1997 was a very hot day in Paris. Diana's body had been... Diana's body had been stored in an empty room adjacent to the emergency room where she had been treated at the hospital. As the... mortuary was on the other side of the hospital grounds and some distance away. Dry ice and air conditioning units were placed in the room to keep it cool, but appeared to have little success. Diana's two sisters and Prince Charles were scheduled to view the body later that afternoon before bringing it back to the United Kingdom. So they had very little time to prepare the body for the viewing. That's their excuse for embalming so quickly.
Yes. I don't know that this really matters that much, honestly. I think this is another curveball.
No, I don't think it is. What... What better excuse? Oh, sorry, our room wasn't cold enough and, you know, people wanted to come see her really quickly and we just didn't have really that much time.
It is bizarre.
So we're just going to go ahead and embalm her body right now.
With no, and they also didn't request the approval needed to do this. They
that doesn't make
it.
Any sense to me.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But now we can go into...
Oh,
briefly.
Yeah. Under French law, paperwork must be completed before undertaking the embalming of any corpse likely to subject to a post-mortem. This paperwork was completed, but only after the embalming had been carried out, giving rise to allegations of suspicious circumstances.
Yeah. Now, we can go... I think we can quickly skim over the next article before we go into my man's video.
Or you could just go into his video.
No, I mean, we
want.
Could just touch on one or two points that you have down. The next article is from All That's Interesting. And I really like this website because I think they do a very good job of giving a brief overview about a topic in layman's terms where you can, like, kind of easily.
Oh, I agree.
Like, easily
really
read along
it
with
down.
It. And
yes.
there's, like, photos and everything.
Yes.
It's just a good read if you're trying to just get, like, okay, like, what's the basis of what happened?
Yes.
So what were just some minor points that you
well,
had?
I just want to say they brought up a point of, like, there was this infamous interview with the BBC Panorama in 1995 where Princess Diana candidly revealed her personal struggles with depression and her struggles with the royal family, which made her...
Didn't she say she was nervous they were going to kill her or something like that? Wasn't that
I don't
famous?
Know.
I thought that was famous in, like, a documentary or something like that.
I don't know. I don't think she, like, just came out and said, oh, I'm scared I'm going to be killed. I just know she talked a lot about Queen Elizabeth and how Queen Elizabeth... There's a famous line that I just saw on,
Queen,
like,
Elizabeth, like, was a dick when she died, too, in the public media.
She, like, stayed on her vacation for a couple extra days, didn't come home, but
and
no,
she
I...
she goes, oh, somebody must have greased her brakes, is what she said publicly in the interview.
And I think in this interview, she talked about her and Prince Charles' marriage and why it was failing. And she said, this is a famous quote, I believe, of hers, that there were three of us in the marriage and that made it kind of crowded, meaning the Queen Elizabeth II was a huge control, had huge control over what they did as a couple, but that interview made her just that more beloved by the public, though not with the crown. By 1997, the year Princess Diana died, she had moved on from her marriage and started dating an Egyptian filmmaker, Dodi Fayed. The tabloids claimed that the royal family disapproved of their relationship and that Princess Diana's butler called Fayed a rebound, apparently.
Yes.
So.
And I should say, I don't know any of the politics of London or anything like that with the royal family, but it appears, not knowing what her political stance was on everything, that the general public really liked her, regardless of whatever the politics were, right or wrong. The public of Europe loved Princess Diana.
Because I just don't think they had ever witnessed or been able to, like, be so close with a royal family member, because she really was in the public a lot. It seemed like she didn't care. Like, she was just trying to be among the people. She didn't want to be stuffed away in a castle like a lot of the royal family tends to be. I think she wanted to be out with the people, and she really took her job very seriously. Again, I don't know her political views either, so I can't really speak to if I agree with her or not.
Yeah.
But for the most part, from what the research I did, she was a very good... she did a lot of charity work. She did a lot of... Like, that would make her very likable. And if that many people across a whole country liked her that much, who probably had differing views too, just like the United States, we all have, you know.
It reminds me a lot of Kennedy, where regardless of his political opinions, each side kind of went with him.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I'm just trying to find one more line here that was.
Yeah. I'm very excited to say my thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Well, let's do this. You say your opinions.
I watched 30 seconds.
No, not the video, just the whole thing. And then I'll just do an overview of the video, which also includes my opinions on the topic.
I'm rolling my eyes. Okay, so my opinions on the topic is I do believe that there was a conspiracy behind the death of Princess Diana. I don't know what it... I don't know if any of the ones we've outlined were the reason. I don't know if all of them were the reason.
What do you think is the most plausible?
The most plausible is this chain of events. Prince Charles and Princess Diana became turmoil in their relationship. And I think Prince Charles had cheated on her. I think he was having an affair. And then that became, I think they wanted that not to become public. And I think that the royal family was panicking, because I think they were like, we're going to lose footing with the people, because now this beloved Princess Diana, she's the best, she's so great. And then Prince Charles is this evil guy that cheated on her and this and that. So I think they kind of panicked. And then on top of it, she's like now trying to, you know, start a new relationship. She's about to get engaged, allegedly. I don't know. And you're also forgetting there's two children involved in this that are still tied to the royal family.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very...
So you essentially think that maybe MI6 or the government...
I think Queen Elizabeth had...
Killed her, or Queen Elizabeth had her killed because of the turmoil that might have happened.
Yeah, not even solely about the affair and all that. I think that obviously Queen Elizabeth had problems with her... the way she did things from the very beginning, because Queen Elizabeth was quite honestly the complete opposite of her. I don't, again, know a lot about Queen Elizabeth. I just don't know. I don't see a lot of people saying, oh, of the people, she was holding babies and kissing dogs.
Unanimously hated by most people.
I don't know the feelings of Great Britain and how they feel about her, but it to me, it seemed there was definitely a motivation to cover something up.
Yes. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
Are you ready for it?
No.
Okay. So I watched every second of Mr. Icky's video.
I'm not even posting the link to that video.
No, dude, you have to. Damn it. Post the link. People need to know. Okay. Here's what I randomly feel like I am good at, is interpreting David Icke's opinions. Okay. He speaks to me, and I have a way of putting it into layman's terms so you can understand the genius behind it. Okay.
I'm LOLing over here.
All right. Here's the thing. Every part of his video, for the most part, and I went and double checked it, and that's what I did. So for that 900 pager, The Trigger by David Icke, every single part. Which is about 9/11, which I still haven't finished. I'm like 700 pages in. It's rather dry.
It was really fun to watch Joe read that on the beach with the cover of the two Twin Towers burning. That was a really good time.
But the reason why I dig Icke's opinion so much is because everything that I looked up checked out.
In that book,
but also in this video.
No, Joe.
Dude, the only thing
he talks
that
about them being fucking lizards in the first 30 seconds.
Things.
That does not check out. Where
Dude,
did you check that out?
The only thing I can't validate.
I can't take you seriously.
The only thing I can't validate is the lizard.
Oh
section.
My god.
Dude,
that has to be
okay,
a joke.
Okay. Okay.
I'm
going
to let you talk.
Okay. Listen to the rest of the damn video and then I will tell you. No, my opinions of the video. Here's the weird shit, okay? So we have the CCTV footage. We also have Icke's opinions about it, saying that at every assassination, you have security pulled back.
Agreed.
For whatever reason.
Agreed.
Which I agree with. On Kennedy's assassination, for whatever reason, the CIA or the Secret Service were pulled off of his vehicle and were only on the back vehicle. Why? We don't know. They were pulled off just for that event. With this, with Princess Diana, she would have usually had more security around her, so they pulled it back. With the CCTV footage, we don't have any of it.
Oh,
just like
real quick, all I'm thinking about is that The Office episode where he's trying to find Michael's lost, and he goes into that Chinese restaurant, and he goes, which way did he go? This way? This way? I don't know.
So now we have more interesting aspects of her death, which I think is wild, okay? Goddess Diana, which is very, very big in the ancient cultures of Paris and of the people that founded Paris and the brotherhood of the elites and the Illuminati.
Who is
and
Goddess
shit.
Diana?
Goddess Diana was one of, just think of it like a Greek god or goddess at this point. And she was like the light in the darkness, basically, is how I kind of understood it. And there was typically sacrifices made to Goddess Diana throughout history, throughout just the people and the religious practices of the time.
Okay.
The thing about elites, always, Masons, all the rest, is the symbology, or the symbolism, I should say.
No, symbology is the right word, right?
I don't think so. Symbolism behind everything.
Totally.
Every little brick, every piece, everything that you see in the media has symbolic things behind it.
Symbolic
and they do
meaning.
It for
yeah.
a reason.
Totally.
Here's where it gets weird. Underneath the bridge, guess what pillar she hit specifically?
Masonic.
There was like, I think there was like 70 or something pillars. She hit the 13th pillar. That's how they died. Okay. So odd thing number one. That's verified. Ooh. That's verified. She hit the 13th pillar. So that's just kind of weird, right?
Up no, it's above, not.
How is it not weird? That's such a symbolic number for
what?
Any of the...
Friday the 13th.
From any of the occult things,
okay.
It goes
All
back
right.
as the 13th. That's odd thing number one. Odd thing number two, the Statue of Liberty, right?
What about this?
Just wait, damn it. The Statue of Liberty. It is a Masonic sculpture that was gifted to the United States by a
French.
Mason from France.
Yes.
Right? Above the tunnel was the Statue of Liberty's flame sculpture on top of a black pentagram. You think I'm full of shit.
Why does that mean anything?
I looked it up.
What
and
does
that's
that mean?
There. Occult symbolic references.
Because
okay?
you're saying they chose that spot because of the mural?
Yes. No, they chose the spot because of the symbolic ancient history of sacrifices to Goddess Diana.
Oh, so you're saying that
on the
you're
spot.
Saying Princess Diana was a sacrifice
yes.
to Goddess Diana.
Yes.
You're a Looney Tune.
They
oh my
sacrificed
God.
Her.
This is for real, you
and
guys.
This assassination was actually an occult sacrifice
by who?
To Goddess Diana.
Who?
By the royal family.
Oh my God.
Okay. The royal family go
you
back.
You sound just like him. You
God
sound like
damn
him.
It, dude. The royal family, their bloodline goes back and is combined with the Rothschilds and all this other shit.
My jaw's on the floor. I'm
dude,
just
Let me get it out. It goes back. You can. So this is where you could say, hey, they might be reptilian lizards from space. They might not be. What I can tell you is that they're weird fucking people.
Can you ground me? Where is this going?
They reference shit with the occult all the time. And I've said this before, whether it's real or not real or completely fabricated, these people believe it's real. That's the thing. Whether they're lizards or not or whatever, they do these ritualistic,
symbolic
things.
Okay, let me sum up what
you
just said.
Right.
So you're saying that the royal family, probably specifically Queen Elizabeth II, had, you know, they have these traditions and they're following the occult and their Masonic ways led
them. Well,
they're
not Masons, but it's just like Masons.
Like Masons. Oh, my God. So they had a motivation to not only get rid of Diana because of all the stuff going on politically, but they also were like, hey, while we're at it.
There was nothing going on politically.
Hey, while we're at it, there's a nice sacrifice we can make. Let's sacrifice Princess Diana to this goddess.
There's even symbolic references of...
How would they have controlled what pillar she hit?
You ready?
Oh my God, I'm literally
getting pissed. The thought behind it is by brainwashing techniques, okay, that we have been able to perfect, the CIA, MI6, and all these people, to get the driver brainwashed with a trigger word to drive into the 13th
pillar.
Who's
saying the trigger word?
It's probably the one MI6 dude sitting in the passenger seat that just so happened to survive.
Lost your marbles.
Oh my God,
okay,
dude.
Here is a great example of why we started this podcast.
People are going to fucking listen to this.
Here's,
and I guarantee
Joe,
you,
do you hear yourself?
Somebody is going to listen to it and be like, oh my God, I
maybe
get it.
Maybe one person?
I get it.
No,
I get it.
I'll tell you right now, this is why we started this podcast. This is a great example. This would be a conversation going on in our kitchen, and I'd be screaming at him like, you've got to be kidding
now,
me.
The video goes out
sound
on a limb
just
a little bit.
Like him.
The video goes out on a limb a little bit. I get it, because he does say in one spot that she's a certain type of reptilian bloodline, Princess Diana. And they were trying to fuse her with the evil bloodline, and that their offspring is
part
of this.
I wish you guys could see my face.
The
offspring
of the Henry and the other guy are part of the fused reptilian bloodline.
Henry and William.
Yeah. So that
you've lost it.
There's even symbolic references to where Princess Diana was buried in the middle of a lake, and they wanted four black swans around the lake.
Let me make this very clear. Read my lips. I could not disagree with you more.
Well, That's my
if you ever send me a David Icke video or article ever again, I will never do a podcast ever again with you.
Here's the thing. Also,
no, this is the
last thing. He indicates, this is the only thing I couldn't reference, that she died in the tunnel for the sacrificial reasons and did not die in the hospital as indicated. And that's why they held her there, to make sure that she died in the tunnel. And that's why she was there for 2 hours. Right. But it's bizarre. Why under the tunnel? There was literally like seven ways to get back to where they were staying that all would have been faster.
I've lost my husband, guys.
All would have been faster. Why didn't she go on those ways? Why did the driver take her totally out of the way to go into the tunnel to hit a 13th pillar at 70 miles an hour underneath the black pentagram with the flame of the Statue of Liberty? It's rather weird, the symbology that happened at that time. And how is it that she goes totally out of this separate way, and coincidentally, the only way she goes, all the CCTV cameras are gone?
I'm done.
Mary's looking at me.
I'm done.
Like, I'm totally gone.
I think this is the first episode in a really long time where we have complete... that was so left field for me. Probably because
I
didn't
finish
the video.
This is why I was so excited about the episode.
This is probably why, because I didn't finish watching the video, but this is so left field for me. I just didn't think you were going to go that far.
Well, you know what? Some people are going to watch it and be like, fuck, dude, that's why I tune into this shit. He speaks the truth.
And if you're a normal person like me, I'm sorry. And I'm sure you're laughing your ass off right now in your car,
whatever,
at the coffee shop, wherever you're listening to
us. I understand the words that are being spoken. Okay?
Oh my God.
I'm not saying
hey,
that
you
they're
know what?
Lizards.
Your opinion
I'm
is
not
your
saying
opinion.
That they're lizards.
Your opinion is your opinion, and it is valid to you, I guess. And that's fine.
Well, you know, and with that being said, please enjoy your day. Because we are wrapping up this episode of the podcast. Hey, I'm
seriously
make it,
though, thank you guys so much for the support and continuing to listen.
We appreciate it. I love doing these because it's so much fun. And truly, I say this all the time, but Mary is my best friend. I mean, we have fun.
Make a pregnant woman cry.
We have fun doing this episode because we can just be funny and be ourselves and just talk about some crazy shit. And we try not to force it because I think a lot of the times the dialogue would not be there if we forced it.
This is the most genuine dialogue there is, guys.
People tune in, you guys tune in to hear what we have to say.
Well, and I just think when you do it with a friend, it's like, it's just, I don't know. I just feel like with you, I literally could just, like right now, you just poured your bleeding heart out about David Icke's theory, and I could very straight face sit here and be like, you're a psychopath. I don't know if I could do that with someone I'm friends with, or you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I feel comfortable with you that you realize that whatever, like, you're crazy. And I can say that.
I think that's what makes this podcast perfect. So we do have links in wherever you're listening to this on for the articles, the video, all that. And then we also have one other social media page, which is our Instagram account. I'm not going to make promises to you guys on episodes and other things. I hate when creators do that and then they just never
follow
through.
We're not making promises, but you know, hopefully we get some more out. We got some cool topics up our sleeve.
What I will say is we're never going to quit this.
No,
it's not something that we're
going to
be like, we quit. We're never doing it again. It's just, it's not a job of ours. We do it for fun. So just kind of bear with us on the episodes. Mm-hmm. And hell, we could use the views on the earlier ones, so just start it over.
Yeah,
listen,
guys.
It's like a TV show.
You guys have been really listening. Really, I checked our stats, and you guys have really been listening to those older ones, so that's
cool. We really appreciate that. Please let us know what you want to hear next. Guys, that is going to wrap up episode 25 of the Freedom Foil podcast. Thank you so much for watching, and as always, stay tuned for more great content coming soon.